This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Your Radio Doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, products, physicians, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on Your Radio Doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor.
On call every Saturday afternoon at 5.
This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Your Radio Doctor. It's June, and I'm wishing you all a very happy Father's Day. Well, in March of last year, a poll by the National Opinion Research Center from the University of Chicago indicated a precipitous decline in Americans' belief in the importance of such values as patriotism, religion, family, and community, the values that used to unite Americans despite our many differences across racial, ethnic, and religious lines. Today, I have the privilege to speak with a man who is deeply committed to preserving those ideals on which America was founded. Dr. Robert George has declared June as Fidelity Month, and I'm very excited that he'll be sharing his ideas with us today. Dr. Robert George is a constitutional scholar, a political philosopher, and an extraordinary intellectual. After graduating from Swarthmore College with a Phi Beta Kappa distinction, he earned a master's in theological studies and a law degree from Harvard. He also is distinguished with a doctor in philosophy degree, bachelor of civil law, doctor of civil law from Oxford University in England. That's why he speaks English. And he has earned 19 honorary degrees. And currently he serves as the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence. And he's the director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University. But along the way, he's also taught at Harvard Law School. He was the chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. He was a presidential appointee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. He has served on the President's Council on Bioethics, and he's been a judicial fellow at the Supreme Court, where he received the Justice Tom Clark Award. Welcome, Robbie.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on with you, Marianne. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. And I know our audience is so excited to hear about Fidelity Month, how it came about, and what it means.
Well, in the spring of last year, I saw the poll that you saw, which simply confirmed the impression that I had that we Americans seem to have lost to a very significant extent our understanding of the importance of faith in God, marriage and the family, and patriotism, love of country, and service to our communities. As you noted, the poll showed that the one thing that showed an increase in Americans' sense of the importance of was money. So that seemed completely backwards to me. I have nothing against money. It's very important, obviously. We need money to live and to do lots of good things with. But money is a merely instrumental good, Marianne. It's only good as a means to other ends. It's not good in itself. You can do good things or bad things with money. So money matters, but it doesn't matter in the way that things that are worthwhile in themselves matter, like faith, like family, like our love of country and our sense of the importance of serving our communities. So by the power vested in me, Marianne, by absolutely no one,
Ding, I have a magic
view of
wand.
that understanding, that sense of the erosion of these values, I declared June to be Fidelity Month, a month that I would invite Americans of all faiths and all ethnic backgrounds and all traditions and all cultural backgrounds to join me in rededicating ourselves to these principles that once were the sources of unity in our country: fidelity to God, fidelity to our spouses and families, fidelity to our country and service to our communities. You know, America is an exceptional country. It's very unusual. Our national unity, our strength, is not rooted in blood and soil or thrown an altar like so many old European countries and other countries where there's a common ethnic bond that binds people together, a racial bond or at least a religious bond or something like that. We Americans are Black and white. We're Asian and Latino. We're Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu. We're all sorts of different ethnic backgrounds and historical traditions and religious faiths. So what's the glue? What's the thing that binds us together? Well, first, of course, there is our common commitment to our constitutional principles, the principles of our democratic republic, and that's good. But in addition to those, and really undergirding and supporting those, as our own Declaration of Independence makes clear, are other core values, and those are faith in God. After all, the Declaration of Independence tells us, Marianne, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. We're created equal. Those are gifts of God. Those are not the entitlements that are conferred on us by governments or by kings or by parliaments or congresses or presidents. And it's not just faith in God. It's also faith in the importance of the family. Historically, it hasn't mattered whether you're Jewish or Christian, Protestant or Catholic, Black or white or Asian or Hispanic. We have all shared a commitment, a basic understanding of the importance of marriage and the family. And same with patriotism and service to our communities. Marianne, my father, who just died this past March at age 98, was conscripted while he was still in high school in 1944. They didn't even get his diploma. They sent it to his parents later. But as soon as he turned 18, they shipped him to basic training and then off to England. And from there, across the English Channel into Normandy to fight the greatest war machine in the world at that time, the Nazi war machine under Hitler. As it happened, my father, on his way across the Channel, his troop carrier called the Leopoldville was struck by a German torpedo. And it sank, and roughly half the men aboard, about 800 or so, were killed. My father, fortunately, was one of those who survived. He was fished out of the English Channel by a British patrol boat in time, thank God. Otherwise, he would have frozen to death, as many did, in the chill waters of the English Channel, and then sent on over to Normandy to fight in the Normandy campaign and then in Brittany and serve with the occupation forces. I bring him up, though, Marianne, because as it happened, my father was the son of immigrants. He was the son of immigrants from Syria. He was of Arab background. He was an Antiochian Syrian Orthodox Christian. But he was fighting alongside not just people with his ethnic background. There are very few Syrian, Antiochian, Orthodox, Arab Americans fighting there, but there were some. He was one. But he was fighting with alongside, serving alongside, struggling to defeat Hitler alongside people who were Methodists and Episcopalians and Baptists, who were Jewish. In some cases, there were some allied forces, including Indians from India on the troop carrier on the Leopoldville. This was a coalition of people of many different faiths and traditions, but they were united to defeat Hitler, to defeat the Nazi war machine. And this is really the history of America. America is a multiracial, multi-religious, multi-ethnic society bound together by common values. And when those values erode, we lose our strength. We lose our unity. And the polling data, as you have indicated, shows that those values are eroding. So we have to get them back. And that's what Fidelity Month is all about.
Well, beautifully well said. And thank you, God, for your father surviving, because without him, we would not have you, obviously. And what you're doing is so magnificent, Robbie. We had a great conversation the other day, and we described what you just encapsulated as a pluralistic Society, and that's why we fought the Revolutionary War, so we would have freedom to practice religion, freedom of speech, and that's how it all started. And the British were sipping sherry in their wing chairs by the fireplace. They didn't know the turf. We did. Our common enemy at the time was we want to be free. Our common enemy in World War II was Hitler. And I grew up listening to my dad and my mother talk about what they experienced during the Depression and World War II. And in my own humble mind, I think what's, or I should say, not so scholarly mind, is the distinction between then and now is people were humble. They were grateful. You can't be happy unless you're grateful, and you can't be grateful unless you're humble, right? And so, in the 50s, I was born in the 50s and growing up, 4th of July was spectacular. We had hula hoop contests. People were happy to be alive. They came home. They were grateful. They had big families. And we lived middle class lives and we weren't running after the dollar. As you say, it was important. But people were bonded by that gratitude to be alive and back in America, and they built it. So just to give people an idea of opinions and how they've changed, even in the past 25 years, in 1998, a poll showed that about the patriotism was very important to about 70% of people. And the poll we're re alluding to from last year, it dropped from 70% to 38%. Faith as being an anchor, importance dropped from 1998 from 62% down to 39%. The value in having and raising children dropped from 59 to 30%. And then just in 2019, right pre-COVID, community involvement was 62%. In favor, and now it's 27%. Tolerance, which is really fascinating because that should be across all lines, has dropped from 80 to 58%. So, what would you say has led to this erosion of the respect or importance of these values?
Well, I don't have a very good answer to that question. People point to various things. I have not done studies myself. The rise of an individualist mentality where we feel less bound to each other, less bonded to each other. We don't put the value on communities that we used to. So, friendship, religious faith, patriotism, these things all suffer as a result. People have become anxious about their economic circumstances, and so they tend to put more focus on money and look to money for happiness and fulfillment rather than friendship, faith, and the other traditional values. Some people, my friend Jonathan Haidt at New York University, a very distinguished social psychologist, is worried that new media, and especially the devices and screens, are causing us to focus more on ourselves and our own little worlds, and to live in a kind of false reality. And as a result of that, John thinks we have lost our sense of community, which affects all the other important values. So, as I say, I can't really give you a confident answer to that question, but there's no doubt about what the bottom line is. On this one, we do have the answer. And the bottom line is Americans no longer have the faith in God, in marriage and the family, in their country and the community that they used to. There's been a tremendous erosion, a loss of trust, a loss of faith.
Well, I think too, as you say, it's multifactorial. People, it's too easy to blame COVID. That's just an easy dartboard. That long before COVID, we were starting
Exactly.
pull apart with being isolated by social media and texting. Rather, people break up in a text instead of sitting down and saying, this isn't working. And you could blame political division, but there have always been set different opinions. It's how we approach each other with respect and listen to the other person. And our economic confidence is sliding as well. But I think it's a combination of all those things. And I would put my nickel on devices as well, social media and feeling isolated, feeling bullied, seeing images that, as you say, are a false reality. I will never have the figure that's being shown on social media, or I'll never be able to play the piano as quickly as AI is making it look learned or whatever. And that's just a whole nother layer. Do you think that disparity is also, we have about a minute left in the segment. Do you think that disparity is influenced by age as well?
We seem to have a very serious mental health crisis. You as a doctor, of course, are aware of this. Yeah. Very serious mental health crisis. And it's skewed in terms of age. The problem is much deeper among younger people. And that, of course, tempts us to conclude that maybe John Haidt is right, and it's the devices and the screens, because the generation that seems to be worst affected by the mental health crisis is the generation that grew up on screens and devices. Now, I have to say, when I look at it, I'm not quite sure mental health crisis captures the reality. I think in a very deep sense, it's a spiritual crisis, Marianne. Maybe we prefer in our secular times to use the phrase mental health crisis, but it's a crisis of meaning and value.
Yes.
People have lost, especially young people, have lost the sense of the meaning of life, the importance of life, the idea of that some things are sacred. So I think we would do better if we faced up to what we've got here, which is a deep spiritual crisis.
Let's take a little break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Robert George from Princeton.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor. We're learning about Fidelity Month. That is the project and the hope of Dr. Robert George from Princeton, an American scholar and intellectual who is telling us so clearly, as we can see ourselves, there's been an erosion in the commitment to the values of patriotism and religious faith and family and being part of a community. Robbie, we talked about the possible reasons why these values are becoming less of a focus for us as Americans. How would you recommend that we go about trying to reinstitute, find meaning in life, and look for the value of patriotism, faith, religious faith, and family?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is to recognize that we have a problem. You can't deal with any real issue in your life unless you recognize that you've got an issue. If you pretend that you don't have an issue, if you try to avert your gaze, if you look the other way, you're not going to deal with the problem. So Fidelity Month is meant initially to get people to focus on the problem that we have lost our commitment to some key values that historically have been the sources of our unity and strength in this very culturally and religiously and ethnically diverse country called the United States of America. So let's get focused on the problem first. Then we can think about what to do about it. And
good
I think
point.
The first step when we faced up to the problem and are trying to think of what to do about it is we begin with ourselves. Before we start preaching to other people, although I do think it is important to send the message, but the first thing we've got to do is a kind of rededication of ourselves. Each of us as an individual, I think, has to say, you know what? I'm going to rededicate myself to these values that have been the sources of our unity and strength in the United States. So I might be a good Catholic or a good Methodist or practice my Jewish faith or my Muslim faith, but couldn't I be better? Couldn't I be more prayerful? Couldn't I be more committed? Couldn't I attend mass or services or whatever the practices of the faith are on a more regular basis? Can't I practice whatever the faith encourages me to practice, whether it's almsgiving or other spiritual practices? Can't I do that better? Same thing for marriage and the family. When I say that it's very important that we rededicate ourselves to fidelity to our spouses and children, This goes beyond not having affairs, extramarital affairs. It's obviously very important to not have extramarital affairs. The erosion of our understanding of the importance of fidelity in marriage has had a very damaging effect. People having extramarital affairs has had a very damaging effect, especially on children. But even a person who is being faithful in the sense that he is or she is not having affairs can dedicate himself or herself to being a better husband or wife, better serving his or her spouse. After all, marriage is a vocation. It's not just a contract. People need to understand that. It's not just a contract. It's a vocation. What's the difference between a vocation and a profession or a vocation and a job? A vocation is a way of serving. And when we marry, we commit ourselves to serving our spouse. So I think we need to be a little less concerned about how well our spouse is serving us and more concerned about how well we're serving our spouse. I should be less focused on what she's doing for me than what I'm doing for her. And I think we'd all be better off if we took that attitude. And I also mentioned fidelity to children. Sometimes people think, well, what's that all about? Fidelity to children. I've never heard of that before. Well, it means being actually there for your children. Not allowing those devices and screens to babysit them and substitute for our time. Now, we all have complex lives. We can't be at every little league game. We can't be there for every scouting event or whatever our kids are involved with, or you know, ballet or whatever it is. But we can do better. We can try our best to be as present as possible for our kids and give them ourselves, not just make sure that they are in school properly and are well-fed and have good clothing and things like that. Really invest ourselves in our children. Give them our time. Give them our attention. And as I say, not allow the screens to become babysitters. Same with service to country and community. Now, not all of us are going to be called to serve our country in uniform on the field of battle, but we can all do things for our country. We can all do things to make America a better place. You know, so few of us vote. It's amazing how few Americans actually vote. Well, let's be more faithful as voters. Let's get involved in campaigns. Let's get behind issues that we care about. And here I'm not dictating which side anybody should be on. Should be a Republican or a Democrat? Should you be in favor of this candidate or that candidate? But I'm saying whatever your views are in the domain of civic life, be an active citizen at a minimum. Get involved in campaigns, become more knowledgeable, try to listen to the news and not just to the biased news that's presented by ideologically slanted media, one side or the other, left or right, Republican, exactly. Democrat. Try to really get yourself informed in an objective way about things. That's how you can be a good citizen. And you know what? What about our local communities? Patriotism isn't just a concern with love of our nation. It's also a concern with love of our local community. And now we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing in our communities to make our communities better places? Are we just taking and not giving? Now we might say, well, we're all paying our taxes and you know that's good enough. Well, it's important to pay your taxes. I have some complaints about how high certain taxes are, including property taxes that fund so much of local government. But beyond taxes, there are ways that we can be active in our community, in its civic life, in its political life. We can support the institutions within our community, including the non-governmental institutions. We can be on boards. We can serve at libraries and at recreational centers. We can reach out to those in our community who are in need and help them in material and moral ways, providing material and moral support. These are all things we can do, and we should all be doing them.
Well, I think the bigger umbrella here is human nature. It is human nature for us to gather, and people are gathering less often. A truly learned person like yourself, I don't know anyone on this planet. I don't know anyone else who has the degrees that you have, the number of degrees. And yet you humbly say, a truly smart person, you know, you finish high school and you think, hey, I'm going to college. And then you get to college and the more you get into your own field of work, the more you realize you'll never know everything, even in your little world. And as I say to my medical students, I can give 100 patients one aspirin tablet, and I can't predict who's going to get better and who might die, who might have an allergic reaction and be gone. There's some higher authority. You have to stay humble. And when you talk about rededicating yourself to God, well, there are atheists and agnostics who are wonderful people, but this is America. And if you do believe, and if faith is your anchor, remember that it doesn't mean just saying it. When was the last time you said a prayer? When was the last time you showed up at church or synagogue or your mosque? And as we had a great conversation the other day, just show up. Just showing up is enough. And you're giving great practical solutions. It's not just something in my head, okay, I'm going to love America more. What are you doing? Let your feet do the talking, yes?
Absolutely right. And Marianne, last week I did a little outreach on Twitter, which is now known as X, what mm-hmm. used to be known as Twitter. I did a little outreach to those of our fellow Americans who are secular, because I want them to have a role to play too.
Exactly.
Whether they're atheists or agnostics or just people who are not affiliated with any particular religion, or for whom, you know, religion is not, or not yet, at least a central okay. part of their lives. There are good people who believe in fidelity to spouses and families, who believe in patriotism and love of country and community. They just don't happen to share religious faith. All right. So they cannot fulfill in good conscience that first plank of Fidelity Month. But that doesn't mean that they can't join us. And I'm very happy to have them join us. And I'm very happy to join them in supporting the values that we can all in good conscience support. Now, I don't want to water things down, because I think faith is terribly important. And those of us who are people of faith should have that as really the foundational commitment of all of our commitments. But I want Fidelity Month to be as inclusive as possible. I want to reach out to as many people as possible. Now, that can't be everybody, because there are some people, I disagree with them, but there are some people, they have a right to their beliefs just as I have a right to mine, mm-hmm. who don't believe in marital fidelity. Yeah. And they don't believe in love of country. They've got a different attitude. Well, you know, they're just going to have to do the best they can. But if you share at least some of the commitments we're talking about in Fidelity Month, then do what you can in joining with us. And let me encourage everybody, Marianne, to go to the fidelitymonth.com website.
Okay.
You can read about Fidelity Month. You can read some interviews there and some articles that are interesting that tell you about Fidelity Month. It's got suggestions of ways you can participate in Fidelity Month. There are events around the country. You can help to organize events at your church or community center or things like that. You can reach out to civic leaders, to religious leaders, and encourage them to recognize Fidelity Month. We've got a little merch shop there where you can buy a flag or a Fidelity Month flag or a t-shirt or a cap. And, you know, that we're not making any money on those. Those are sold at costs. This movement doesn't even have a budget. But you can help to spread the word at a minimum. And for free, you can use the Fidelity Month logo on all your social media accounts. That really helps us to spread the word. You can just copy it right off the Fidelity Month website and use it. And then finally, Marianne, because I know we have a break soon, June 24th is going to be our day of prayer and fasting for Fidelity Month. We're going to all get together across all the different lines of religion, and all according to our own religious customs when it comes to fasting and praying. We're going to pray for the restoration of our country to the principles of fidelity.
Beautifully well said. And that website again, Robbie, is
fidelitymonth.com. Fidelitymonth.com. Yeah.
Fidelitymonth.com. And the day of prayer and fasting is June 24th, and we will
June 24th. Yeah, please join with us. Obviously, if your health is not good, don't join us with the fasting. But you can certainly join us with the prayer. And if you're healthy and able to fast, yeah, please join us with the fasting as well. And the different traditions have different religious traditions have different ways of going about fasting. Just do it according to your own tradition.
Beautiful. Let's take a little break and hear about this week's champions, our fathers. And now for your real champion. I call this segment Faith of Our Fathers. Friends, this is a champion segment from a previous show when we highlighted Veterans Day. Now marking the 80-year anniversary of D-Day and the invasion of Normandy, this is also a Father's Day tribute. We share the stories of my father, Frank J. Ritchie, and my father-in-law, Dr. Everett J. Gordon, two soldiers who had remarkable experiences in World War II, and both embodied the ideals of bravery and patriotism, commitment to faith and their families, all the values we hope to reinforce that we discuss in our show today on Fidelity Month. And now for your real champion. I call this segment Veterans Day. Veterans Day is a federal holiday which gives us an opportunity to honor the men and women who have served in our country's armed forces. Why is it observed on November 11th? Because at the 11th hour, on the 11th day, in the 11th month, in 1918, an armistice or ceasefire was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in the end of World War I, then known as the Great War. The official end to World War I came with the Treaty of Versailles in June of 1919. 1 year later, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11 as the first commemoration of Armistice Day, to be observed with parades, public gatherings, and a brief pause in business and school activities at 11 a.m. By 1926, Congress passed a resolution that the anniversary should be commemorated with Thanksgiving and prayer, and exercises designed to perpetuate peace throughout goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. Well, following World War II, it was decided to expand Armistice Day to celebrate all veterans, not just those who served in World War I. And since June 1 of 1954, it has been known as Veterans Day. On Veterans Day, we thank those who have proudly served in our military. Memorial Day honors military members who died in service, and Armed Forces Day honors those currently serving in the U.S. military. During World War I, much of the Western European countryside was bombed and blasted. Beautiful landscapes turned to mud where little or nothing could grow. But from the battlefields, thousands of bright red, resilient poppies began to peek through the chaos and destruction. A Canadian physician named John McCrae, a surgeon for an Allied unit, witnessed the death of his friend and fellow soldier. The next day, he spotted a cluster of poppies growing among the graves and wrote a famous poem called In Flanders Field, which inspired the use of the poppy as the symbol of remembrance in so many countries to this day. Our real champions this week are veterans across the country, past and present. Like many members of the Greatest Generation, these two veterans from World War II had very special stories. My father, Frank J. Ritchie, joined the Navy. His education as a funeral director included the study of anatomy, so he served as a medic. His minesweeper was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean when it passed by another Navy vessel whose crew included his brother, my Uncle Eddie. So the Navy arranged for my father to spend the day on Uncle Eddie's ship. That's a page right out of Saving Private Ryan. My father-in-law joined the Army. Dr. Everett J. Gordon was an orthopedic surgeon who served in General Patton's Army, and he was present on many a day that Patton came to visit the wounded. Living by the Hippocratic Oath, he gave the same excellent care to German and Italian prisoners as he did to his fellow American soldiers, all while wearing a helmet as he operated with the Germans aiming missiles at the medical tents marked with the Red Cross. We thank all the brave and selfless men and women of the military, including Frank Ritchie, Everett Gordon, my brother-in-law, Navy Captain Robert Spencer Carr Smith, who served in Vietnam, and my niece's husband, Marine Major Chris Bauer, who served in Iraq. We thank you for your service and helping to protect our sweet land of liberty. We salute you as this week's real champions.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Just download the Odyssey app and search Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, now Saturday afternoons at 5, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor, and we're hearing all about the beauty of this concept of Fidelity Month from our guest, Dr. Robbie George. Robbie, we were talking about the three facets that you'd like to address, that we should all address, in reinstituting and rededicating ourselves to our faith. And if there are people who don't have faith as an anchor, your idea of bringing us all together under the umbrella of America as a United States of United Citizens, you want to be inclusive. And you're stressing the absolute value. It's human nature for us to want to be together. I know in our Catholic faith, we're taught that our every action and our every thought should be based on the commandments and that continuous thread in our fabric. That's what helps us decide to do right rather than wrong. And not that we don't fall short, but you're part of something bigger than yourself. That's the human condition. And we talked also about spousal devotion. And my dad and mother always used to say that when you are fortunate enough to fall in love and marry somebody really special, that you don't want to give 50-50. You each want to give 110%. And you said it so beautifully that you want to serve each other, not in a demeaning way, but be considerate and thoughtful and say, you know, I want to do it this way. What are you thinking? Right?
Yeah, that's why I introduced the concept of vocation and distinguished vocation from a mere job or even a profession. A vocation is a way of serving. It's a way we're called to serve, to put a religious spin on it. We believe, those of us who are religious, believe that people are called by God to serve in particular ways. That's why you've been given certain talents and abilities and interests and opportunities and so forth. And marriage is a vocation. It's a way of serving. And who do we serve? Well, we serve first of all our spouse and second our children. But then good marriages, you'll notice, provide service not only within the narrow confines of the nuclear family, but more broadly even than that. Sound, solid, good, fruitful marriages serve the entire community. That's why historically, traditionally, we've always conceived as the family, the marriage-based family, is the fundamental unit of society, the fundamental cell from which everything else is put together. So I think we should recover that sense of marriage as not a mere contract, not a mere deal, but truly as a vocation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know with my own children, I try to offer them what my parents offered me, and that I am your oasis. No matter what happens to you out there, whether you stumble or succeed or a combination of both, I am here no matter what.
Yeah. Just
unconditionally, forever and ever. You can tell me anything. You can keep things to yourself. But if they feel that, I'm fortunate that our guests in the next couple of weeks are going to be doctors from Children's Hospital. And one of them is going to be talking about violence prevention. What is it that makes some children react physically when they feel threatened?
Yeah.
And one of those things is, you know, you talk about child abuse. Well, child abuse isn't always just being physically harmed. It's hearing fighting a lot. All families argue, but that tension that builds up and feeling like we're not a unit. I mean, even baseball teams and basketball teams say we're a family, because family, what you're talking about, is so important to bind people with a common goal. We have medical students and we break down into groups of 10. 10 students, and I'd be the teacher, and we discuss a case or whatever. And once in a while, I'll get a student who just likes to veer off and get political. And I'll say, listen, as your teacher today, I think it's great that you have an opinion, but our role as a group of 11 is to take this pretend patient who has a fever and weight loss and figure out what caused it, what we can do to make it better, and how we can help him or her from ever having this happen again. I don't need to know what your favorite hobby is. I don't need to know the color of your underwear. And I really don't need to know who you voted for. And that's not in a demeaning way. It's just like, we can have anything polarize us in our mission as people who take the Hippocratic Oath, right?
Myself, I'm not a doctor, but I've always had enormous respect for the practice of medicine. I've been a great beneficiary of medicine. My life has been saved more than once by the medical profession. But what I love about medicine, when it's really truly practiced well, as it is by people like you, Marian, what I love about it is that it's a vocation. It's a way of serving. And here's the most beautiful thing about it of all, and you just touched on this. A truly dedicated Hippocratic doctor doesn't care, doesn't even want to know whether you're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, Christian or Jewish or Muslim, Catholic or Protestant, whether your ancestors came from Japan or Ghana or Belgium or Russia. They are just there to serve you. No matter who you are, a doctor, as you know, having sworn the Hippocratic Oath, if your worst enemy is dying and he's rushed into the emergency room and you're there, or someone you think is an abominable human being, a terrible human being, a moral monster is rushed into you, your obligation is to do your best to save them and to heal them. And that's a really beautiful, beautiful thing. That really is a vocation. That's a real form of service to humanity.
Well, as evidenced by so many war stories, my husband's dad was in the Patton Army, and they would operate and take care of prisoners of war and enemies just like they were their own brothers. And that's what you're talking about here, service. I think maybe that's the word that ties this all together, serving our fellow human beings and respect. And saying that everybody gets hungry, everybody needs sleep, everybody has feelings. Life is a balance. Too much social media is distracting, but not enough. And then we don't, you know, even coaches now post, the practice schedule on Facebook. I'm going to think, oh gosh, isn't there another way? Because it's just drawing your children to, you know, one more exposure to it, and then hackers get in and expose them to bad stuff. But it takes effort. It's an act of participation. It's not passive. You have to rededicate yourself with a deliberate sense of spirit. Yes?
Yes, so these things fit together. I think the Ur principle, the most fundamental of all moral principles, is the principle of the profound, inherent, and equal dignity of each and every member of the human family. That means no matter how unequal we are in so many ways, intelligence, beauty, strength, skill, charm, wit, character, no matter how poor we are, how disease-ridden we are, how wretched we are nevertheless fundamentally, in the most important respect of all, equal. That is, we're bearers of equal dignity. And in the biblical traditions, in Judaism and Christianity, the account we give of this is that man is made in the very image and likeness of the divine creator and ruler of all that is. That's the spiritual and metaphysical grounding of this principle of profound, inherent, and equal dignity. It's the idea of man made in the image and likeness of God. And the Bible also teaches us in Genesis 2. So the image and likeness of God part is in Genesis 1, the very first book of the Bible, very first chapter. In Genesis 2, it goes immediately to marriage, and we're taught that the man shall leave his mother and home and cleave unto his wife, and the two will be one flesh. Mm-hmm. That introduces the concept right there of the family, that fundamental unit of society. But families are the basic structures that form communities. What communities are communities of families. Ultimately, even nations are communities of families. And that's how we balance, Marianne, the concepts which need to be kept in balance of the universal and the particular. You know, the universal is we're all made in the image and likeness of God. We all have duties to everybody in the world. But we have particular and special duties to the people closest to us, to our spouses and to our children and to the people within our community. We can't just be abstract lovers of humanity, you know, thinking, well, I've got the same obligations to the people in Siberia or down in Australia that I have to my neighbor next door. No, there's a special obligation that we have to our neighbor next door when our neighbor's in distress. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have obligations that are universal, but we have to keep the universal and the particular both in balance. We have very particular obligations in addition to our universal obligations.
Well, wouldn't you say that the thing in life that brings us most joy is positive, is relationships? And relationships that are most special are those in the family. So you might have a difference of opinion with one of your siblings on how to take care of your aging parents or whatever it is. But I'm the daughter of a funeral director. So we used to have funeral directors, we used to have funerals and viewings in our home. And it was interesting as a little girl to watch how people responded. And I walked away from that when I was a teenager. And I could understand a little bit more that it's hard to say goodbye to somebody that you really love and you're really connected with, whether it's a relative or friend. But I think it's almost harder when people lose somebody and the chance to reconcile is gone. I think that poor soul is tortured because they think, dang, why didn't I just, you know, forget about the money argument or mommy loved you more or whatever it is. Now I can't fix it.
Thank you, Marianne. We're created such that our nature is such that we are made to be in relationships with other people. We are not atomistic, isolated individuals. Our flourishing requires that we be in communion, a kind of communion with other people. And there are various kinds of relationships and degrees of emotional intensity of the relationships. And we have different obligations to different people. I have certain obligations to my spouse that I don't have to other people. I have certain obligations to my children that I don't have to other people's children and so forth. But we're made to be in relationships. We're made to be in communities. I think it's the Jesuit order of the Catholic Church that has this description of themselves as men for others. We are men for others. But that should go beyond any particular religious order. We should all be people for others. We're never going to be happy if we're focused on our own narrow self-interest. That's just not the road to happiness. It's just not.
Way too boring.
We are fulfilled as the kinds of creatures we are with the nature that we have by entering into relationships with others and serving.
Why do you think your child is learning to ride their two-wheeler for the first time? Mom, look at me. Look what I can do.
Yeah.
and that's beautiful. The whole thing. You don't enjoy it unless you share it with somebody. And maybe listening, and sometimes I do my best thinking when I'm talking, meaning it makes me actively think of something to say, but maybe Santa Claus had it right. Just being good for goodness sake, because there is no such thing, am I right? There is no such thing as true altruism. When you do something good and somebody else smiles, or you think, man, I just kept that little kid from running in front of that car, or I just fixed that person's fever, or I helped that lady, you know, on a walker get across it, or whatever small thing it is. That's what you're talking about. Being actively conscious of lending yourself and your talents, because as you say, we all have different talents. We all have different interests. That's what makes us interesting. That's what makes life fascinating. And life is a balance. A little social media, not too much. A little playtime, a little work time.
We need to be people for others.
And comment number two, I happen to be a graduate of Hawk Hill, St. Joseph's University, where that Jesuit motto, a little history for our listeners who might not know that several of the colleges in Philadelphia were all boys, St. Joe's, Villanova, LaSalle. Just before I started college, they went co-ed, and St. Joe's was six boys to one girl when I started. It was a candy shop. It was awesome. But it had to change the mantra to men and women for others. But that is definitely the Ignatian exercises as well. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, more from Dr. Robbie George.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to our final segment. It has been a sheer pleasure and my joy to have Dr. Robbie George from Princeton University, noted scholar and intellectual. Robbie, what's your take-home message for our listeners about Fidelity Month, the month of June, month of Father's Day, fathers, family, respect for others, being committed to our faith, being more committed as human beings?
My takeaway message is this: we can do it. We can do this. We can take our poor, fractured, polarized country and restore it to the values that gave us our unity and our strength historically, that enabled us to, for example, destroy that dreadful Nazi war machine that threatened all of humanity and all of civil liberty and human life. But we have to act in order to make it happen. That means we've got to rededicate ourselves, each individually, rededicate ourselves to faith in God, to faith toward our spouses and our children, fidelity in our marriages and our families, and then fidelity to country and community, to patriotism and service to the community. And let's then not stop there. We need to rededicate ourselves. We need to make ourselves better in all of those respects. And then we need to encourage our fellow citizens. We need to be a light to others. We need to set a good example, and we need to, if you don't mind, do a little preaching, you know, within your own circle of influence. Say, hey, you know, I'd like you to join me. I'd like to tell you about Fidelity Month. I'd like to send you to the Fidelity Month website, fidelitymonth.com. Visit it and see if you want to join with me and with so many others, really thousands, and it'll be tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. And by next year, I hope it'll be millions of people dedicating or rededicating themselves to fidelity.
Well, one quick reference, Robbie, I was in my training as a GI doc at Sloan Kettering in New York in the mid-80s, before HIV had a name. And we were seeing these beautiful, young, healthy people just disintegrate in front of our eyes. And we all worked together. It was the head of dermatology who said, oh my gosh, I'm seeing this red. It's like the scarlet letter that marks that a person has them internally. They're bleeding, they're dying. And it was he who established or realized that the common thread was the lifestyle. Maybe that's what's increasing the risk, et cetera. We all work together. Whereas COVID, we were clashing because everybody wanted to be that guy who was time stamped at 3:08 a.m. Hey, I came up with the answer. We weren't working together. We've seen the difference that when HIV was finally identified by a Jefferson grad, thank you, that we were working together. And it took a while, but there was harmony, just like after September 11th. Everybody was, here, you take the parking space. No, you take. We loved each other for a short time. We have to get back to that. The website to visit is?
FidelityMonth.com.
FidelityMonth.com. And June 24th is this special day of prayer and fasting. Any last words, Robbie?
Well, Marianne, you and I have been friends for quite some time, but I didn't know that you did some training at Sloan Kettering. I mentioned earlier that more than once my life has been saved by medicine. I had thyroid cancer when I was a very young man, just married back in 1983. Yes. I was initially treated in West Virginia, where I was born and brought up. And then I was treated by Dr. Elliot Strong at Sloan Kettering.
Yes.
In New York. So what a wonderful connection. Yeah, how about
that?
You
there.
Must have been there at the same time.
I was there from 83 to 86.
Well, yes, that's right, when Dr. Strong was treating me there, yeah.
Well, once again, God is good. You're still here with us, and you bring such joy. And I don't know anyone who is as learned as you, Robbie, but you're so humble about it, and that's what makes your message so appealing. So FidelityMonth.com. Thank you so much. And I hope you get to come back and visit us again.
I'd love to do that, Marianne. And God bless you and all the great work that you do.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Fidelity Month.
Thanks for that, too.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross. To contact Dr. Marianne and to listen to today's show as well as past shows, visit YourRadioDoctor.com. This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's #1 health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.